Well, I've got an outline. I mean, I've got a little article that's coming around. I don't think there's but about 25 copies, so I don't know how far it'll get, but we can make more copies if you like. But I'm going to start with one of those articles because I found this some time ago, and it didn't really have a title, so I just gave it a title. I'm calling it Coming Into the Place. And you have to read this more than one time to really grasp what it's saying, I think. There's a very large part of the Bible which can be received by us only when we come into the place for which the words were given. There are promises for weakness which we can never receive when we are strong. There are words of times of danger which we can never know while we need no protection. There are consolations for sickness whose comfort we can never get when we are in robust health. There are promises for times of loneliness when men walk in solitary ways which never can come with real meaning while loving companions are all around us or they're by our side. There are words for old age which we can never appropriate for ourselves along the years of youth. When the arm is strong, the blood warm, the heart brave, God cannot show us the stars while the sun shines in the heavens. So I've pretty much come to a time in my life when there are a lot of words from Scripture that have come to have real meaning for me that perhaps maybe I didn't understand or I didn't know how to use when I was younger. But I've reached the point where some of these passages of Scripture have come to have real meaning for me. When I was shown this title of this lesson today, Words of Strength for Weary Women, I thought, you know, if I don't do that lesson, I'm going to be there because I need that. And I needed the study, and it was real good for me. There are times when I feel like the psalmist expressed himself, excuse me, in Psalm 55, 6 through 8, he says, "And I say, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and the tempest." Sometimes I think, you know, some of these things that I've said or I'm going to say might sound like, man, she must have a lot of problems to feel this way. And I don't. I've got plenty, but they're mine. And just like yours are yours, and we deal with them. But it causes some of these emotions within you, and this has been good for me because it's helped me to have a handle on it, what good they do. I think sometimes when you get older, obviously there's just things that come. Your health deteriorates, and we're not surprised by that. We know it's going to. In fact, we kind of want it to because that means we get closer to heaven as we age. And so that's not all bad. And then again, I think, well, I'm in pretty good company because you spend some time thinking about Bible characters and you just almost can't think of any that you can't see something in their lives that was not considered something to wear them down and made difficult by the things that they had to carry, the burdens they had to carry. And I've just thought of a few of them here to bring out for you. I've got this vision problem is another one of my old age things. Actually, I inherited this from my mother, so I've got a syndrome, a Fuchs dystrophy syndrome that makes vision a little difficult. But think about Abraham, for example. Adam and Eve, if we want to go back further than that, how must they have dealt, how must they have coped with the loss of one of their sons at the hands of another one? What about Abraham? I've always thought, man, Genesis 22, we read about what God asked him to do to his only son, Isaac, the promised son. And it just says, Abraham got up and did this. Between one verse and another verse, it just says, Abraham got up and did what God told him to do. Well, he's known for his great faith. But what emotions Abraham had to have had. What emotions he had to have had. He must have wondered, why? What profit? Of course, we learn in Hebrews that he knew, he had such faith that he knew God could raise Isaac from the dead. if that needed to be the case. But think about these characters. There's so many. Noah, think about what it must have been like for him when he was trying to do what God wanted him to do. Isaac and Rebekah, when their son married a Hittite woman, they said that his wife was a grief of mind to them. And we have Job. Of course, I don't have to tell you anything about Job. Then David, because of his sin primarily, he had sword entered his life from that time on. We think of Leah. I love Leah. Read an article in the Spiritual Sword, a lectureship book one time about her, in which she was called the unloved Leah. But in reality, she was blessed far more than Rachel, who was loved by her husband, Jacob. One that we might not think about is Samson. Samson was not known for his spiritual character. He was one of the judges, and we think perhaps God chose him because he might have been the best they had during that dark time of Hebrew history. But anyway, remember that he liked the ladies, and there were a couple of the Philistine women, one of them that he wanted, and he said to his parents, "Get her for me. I want to marry her because she looks good to me. She looks good to me." And they said, "Can't you find a woman among our own people that you can marry? Why do you have to do this?" And then the passage right after that says they didn't understand that God was using this as an occasion to bring destruction upon the Philistine people. So make a note of that, because we want to look at our burdens in that context. What can come from these things that enter our life? We have others. We have Elijah. We remember him running from Jezebel. And think of Esther, the burden that she had. She had the responsibility of her people upon her. And then, of course, Mary. I think of Mary and what life must have been like for her. I don't guess I really know how much Mary knew was ahead for her. But we know that Simeon told her that child of hers was appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce thine own soul, so that your thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. In Luke 2:25. And remember where it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She must have known that there were some heartaches ahead for her. And then, of course, there were. And Jesus, remember Isaiah 53, what it says about him, among other things, says that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So can you picture him going around knowing what his life was going to, how it was going to culminate? We still don't think of him as going around with gloom, a cloud over his head, because of what he knew he had to do. He endured those things, but we know, because he loved us. But he knew that there was something ahead for him to look forward to. He knew there was a reason for it. And then Paul, of course, he learned in whatever state he was in to be content. From cover to cover, the people of God suffered from various things in life that caused disappointment to them and so forth. So we're not unique. And also, I think it's really important for us to remember, this isn't just the lot of Christians to have weary conditions. This is the lot of mankind. You're just going to have weariness. If you're still without breath in you, you're going to have conditions that cause weariness in you. So it's not just for Christians. But what sets us apart is that we know these things are going to come, and we know that they can be used for good in our lives. And we know that we've got support from our Heavenly Father, whose son went through this. We know that we've got our brethren to rely on. We know that we have prayer, access to God through prayer. Many blessings and benefits we have to help us through these struggles that we have in our lives. Have you ever thought about what things there are in your lives that cause weariness? Sometimes you have to have a lesson like this for you to spend time to think about, well, what are some things that trouble me, that create a tension in my life? So there are many things. One of the things that I wager most of us in here struggle with is the political, the moral climate in our country today. We hate to see that our children have to grow up in some of the things that are accepted today. Makes me think of something that Really, Isaiah 5, we read Isaiah 5, 19 and 20. This is a passage I found years ago, and I thought many times over when things happen in our country, I think, it's just like this, it was like that in Isaiah's day, when he wrote, "Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." Do we not have this today? Is this not going on today? Is this not real today? It's like today. But we know that God is in control, and we are going to trust him to bring the right things out of all this. Sometimes there are family situations. There may be children that cause disappointment in people's lives. Not small children, but I'm talking about adult children may create disappointments in your lives. Health issues, they just come. This body will decay in time. Chronic pain, some people live with chronic pain. I can't imagine how they cope with that. But they can receive help from God to bear up under those. Financial struggles can come to some of us. Personal heartaches, and maybe in our own families. Aging concerns, loneliness, they're just an endless list. And then even when we choose to become Christians, we're asking for another set of problems in a way. Of course, we don't want to emphasize that over the blessings that come through it, but it's the very nature of Christianity that we're not comfortable in this world. This is not where we belong. We're strangers and pilgrims passing through. There are things in this world that make us uncomfortable, and there are people we make uncomfortable by our convictions. And so it's difficult. When you become a Christian, you ask for a different set of problems, but you trade some of them by doing so. And there's none of us that will go through life without things that would cause weariness. I heard it said one time that you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't go around them. You just got to go through them. You got to expect them and just deal with them when they come and look for the things, the good things that come from it. You know, just as I know and have been told many, many times, that this life is a sort of a training ground to prepare us for eternity. And we've got to include those challenges and those disappointments as part of that training ground. It's sometimes called the perfect soul-making environment. This life is what that is, preparing us for eternity. And so these things that we suffer are designed, if not created by God, to perfect us, to make us more prepared for eternity. And you know, another way of looking at these kind of things, none of us have any way of knowing what conditions of disappointment, stress, trouble in our lives up to this point, what those kind of factors, how they have influenced where we are today. I mean, we're talking generally now about the weariness, the conditions we have now, and how it will affect us later, perhaps in eternity. But think about what you may have already been through and how it might have influenced where you are today. You know, there's some things, I'll get into one of them about my mother in a little bit, that maybe you wouldn't be a Christian today, perhaps, if it hadn't been for some struggles in your family. There's just a lot of ways that we can go with that. But God in his providence uses things, just like he did in Samson's choice for a wife. His parents didn't approve of that. But look what God used. He brought about the destruction of the Philistine people through Samson's foolish choice. So may we make some foolish choices sometimes, but we've got to trust God will help us to bring some good out of that. Earlier, we alluded to Jesus and what he endured. We know the purpose for which Jesus died. We know of his great love for us caused him to die. Gave his life. He was willing to die because of his love for us. But we're glad to know what the Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews 12, verse 2. He said that we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And this part kind of stood out for me again this time. He was the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross an unspeakable experience, unthinkable experience. But he looked ahead to the joy that was set before him. He suffered and he endured. And he endured because he knew what was ahead. We can do that. We are going to do that. We're going to use whatever comes into our life to endure and use them as stepping stones to help us to learn what God wants us to learn. Now, there are several situations in my life right now that many of them are personal and I could not go into. And all of you have them. I'm not unique and I'm not setting myself as an example, but I'm saying that I have them, and this is one of them. And it could be worse, but it's just something that bothers me from day to day. This works better. My two sisters and my brother and I have a unique situation of having a mother that will be 102 in August. And she's been a resident at a real nice nursing home in Dripping Springs for 13 years. I probably wouldn't even have to say any more to some of you for you to understand why this creates weariness. But during that 13-year period that she's been there, well, actually a little bit longer than that, but she's lost 3 grandchildren, 2 sons-in-law, all but one of her 6 siblings have already died, as well as the preacher she chose to do her funeral service when she died. She's outlived him. She's outlived 10 roommates where she is living now. But because of her memory loss, she doesn't know about any of those things. She's been spared the sorrow that comes from knowing that your loved ones have gone. She doesn't know that. This is the good part. Mother obeyed the gospel when she was 49 years old. So this was difficult, as you can imagine. You're already set in your ways. She obeyed the gospel. When she was 49, she left denominationalism. But when she made that choice, she created some stress in her life, in our family. Matthew 10. Forever when I read that passage where Jesus said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." Now, he came to bring peace in a way, we understand that. But in many families, Jesus and his teachings have created division in homes and among friends. And this is what happened in our family. But mother loved the Lord. She loved his word. She read from it daily as long as she was able to. She knew and she understood well the difference between men's churches and the Lord's church. And she loved the Lord's church. She was active in it. She was a widow from 1969 on, so she was pretty much alone. And one of the things that brings me happiness is to, I have a collection of mother's old gospel minutes. She took that for a long time. And Dillard Thurman at that time was the editor of that publication, and he was a member of the Meadowbrook congregation in Fort Worth where mother first obeyed the gospel. And I've got these copies that she passed down to me, I guess, or maybe I got them when she moved away from her home. But she's underlined, and she'd put over here, "Good, good, good," or "Amen," or something like this. Mother loved reading from Scripture and about Scripture and good articles like that. But I cherish those things because they remind me of the way Mother was. And it gives me confidence that Mother was solidly converted. And that has taken a great burden off of me. And being, I'm the nearest one to her. My two sisters live away, and my brother lives away too. So I'm the nearest one to her. So I think of myself as a caregiver. And but that helps me through a lot of this. But there are just some burdens that go with having a loved one in a nursing home. Just thinking about 24/7 is difficult for all of us. I'm sure it's difficult for my sisters and my brother too. But I've been there with her for hours, and the difficult time came when she was making the transition from moving in until she got accustomed to life there. Very difficult time for us. In that sense, it's better today because she doesn't know where she is anymore. Those were difficult years. And she's past the point where she's not stressed about it, and that's good. That's good. And of course, you deal with the guilt of asking, isn't there some other way? Wasn't there some other way we could have handled this? You go through this over and over in your mind, and that brings weariness. You can't, it just comes, it surfaces. You can't go over it or under it, you just go through it. And that's what one of the things we've done. Seeing the changes that have occurred in Mother the past 13 years has been difficult for all of us. Sometimes I have to work at keeping myself from becoming real depressed about that. You know, just thinking about, I'll go and see Mother and I think, she's been there. She hadn't been out of this building in how long now? You know, things like that, you just can't help but just deal with them and focus on them. There's a picture on Mother's wall. There's a lot of them. Mother was always a family picture. She loved having all of them around on her walls. And I've got one of Mother that was taken for one of the Meadowbrook Church directories a number of years ago and just was typical of Mother. And I think, there's Mother. That's the way she is. That's the way she was. And then I look at her, you know, and it creates some weariness in you. It's a bit difficult. And as far as we know, and this is one of the interesting things, as far as you know, she's not aware of anything except she knows if somebody hurts her. You know, she doesn't like it when I clip her nails, for example, or something like that. She doesn't like, she might, if she doesn't want to get up, when they wake her up, she let them know. But she doesn't speak in that sense. Now, every now and then they'll tell me, Mother said no. You know, they didn't want to get up. But she was always, well, the picture, I was going to that. That Mother's not like that anymore. But it's still Mother. It's still Mother. And this is that article that I gave you about coming into the place. I've come into the place where some of these passages have come alive for me. And one of them that has helped me so much, I found in Psalm 61. So many, many, many things in Psalms that encourage. And even though David wrote probably most of these, and he had enemies. I don't have enemies in the sense that David had them, but I have enemies in the sense of things that plague my life and hurt. And then I found in Psalm 61, 1-3, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for my enemy. So that has helped me, because I do sometimes feel overwhelmed by these things. But I gain strength from passages like this. And they help me to keep on keeping on, because I know even though the situation is like it is, it could be far worse. I've shed buckets of tears, and the reason I'm bringing that out is because God has a bottle. He stores some of my tears in his bottle. That pleases me. Psalm 56:8, for those of you who do not know that God has a bottle in which he stores our tears, that just means he cares about those things that hurt us. He understands, he knows. And sometimes I think he must have a very big bottle, or he's got more than one bottle. But he cares about us, and I love knowing that God knows. He knows and he understands. But so one of the points that I wanted to make was, it's not during the fun times of life, when things are, during when the sun's shining, that you're drawn to your knees so much. We understand that we should be grateful for the good times in our lives, but it's not during those times typically that we're drawn to our knees. It's during times that of pain and anguish that we're drawn to our knees and therefore closer to God. He's the only place that we can go with our difficulties. He's the only one that we can tell some things in our lives. We read about how God is a God of comfort all through the scriptures, really, but 2 Corinthians 1 talks about the God of all comfort. And here's another passage that has been valuable to me that I found during this period of time that struggling with these problems, that they're problems to me. And this one, I think of it as that word picture. I can just visualize. Let me read it to you and then see if you can't visualize too. This is Psalm 3, 1-5. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I wakened, for the Lord sustained me. The peace and comfort that comes. But picture God cradling your face in his hands. And what do you think he's doing? I mean, what do you think that conveys? I'll tell you what conveys to me. He's saying, I'm so sorry. I hurt for you. I know what you're going through. You've just got to hold on. You've just got to draw strength from the good things. He's saying, you can do it. I care. I'm aware. I love that passage, Psalm 3. And I think that's verse 3 out of that context. But 1 through 5 there, I think, is mostly what I read. So, mother, at 102 almost, she has no means of influence, either good or bad, at the nursing home because she's just there. I think if you could say that she has any influence, it's good because she doesn't create a lot of problems for them, they tell me. She's so sweet and, you know, they have to transport her. She's rather heavy. She's like 187, so they can't just pick her up and put her in bed. And they're good to her there. It's a nursing home. It's not like you would do yourself, but it's a nursing home. And you learn a lot about different people that work in places like that. There's some that just have a heart for that kind of work. And those are the ones you want. They're mostly the ones we've had there. But it's a nursing home. But I thought, she has no influence, either good or bad there particularly. So you think, what can come from this? And not to question God, because we know that he knows what's best and there's a purpose for it. But what I want to know is, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And not just from this, but from my study of the Bible down through the years, I've learned that, and you've learned too, that God works in our lives. His providential, his care. The story of Joseph, if none other comes to your mind, shows the providence in a person's life, and I think it is in our lives too. So this is my life, and mother's there. And God has a purpose. I don't know whether it's for me or for mother, but he knows that as long as mother's there, I'm going to be there. So what am I overlooking? Opportunities that can come to me because of what she's going through, what we're all going through. There are opportunities for me there. You know, am I doing it? Am I missing them? The fact that I'm a New Testament Christian, and there are some others there, but a couple that are residents there. And I think, am I using the opportunities I have in a good way? Maybe he's keeping her there because somebody's going to come that I can influence for good. There are always children of parents who come there as residents that you get acquainted with. So you meet friends. You have new friends. And we've been there so long now. Things have changed. So many different ones have come and gone. You know, I just feel like a fixture there anymore. But it's not all bad. It's not all bad, even though I may be making it sound like it. There are some benefits to knowing people that work in places like that and to just associating with the kind of workers that you do. But am I doing what God wants me to do during this time of mother's stay at that nursing home? Anybody know what Jeremiah 10:23 says? I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but long ago we probably memorize that. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not possible for us to navigate our lives, not successfully in this life. People try it all the time. But to live lives that are successful, to live lives that would lead us to God, we've got to have his direction. And we're not going to get that through a phone call, are we? We're going to get through scripture. God wants... This is one of the thoughts that I love to think. God loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to succeed. He's not our enemy. He's not making it difficult for us. He's giving us opportunities. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to have a happy life. Well, if we have some time, we'll look at some passages that show that. But here's some things that have helped me. Psalm 121 is another encouraging passage to me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. This is written for me. It's written for you too. But I take these things, and this helps me. These help me. And I found many of them just because of the things that I was going through. I wanted to study through Psalm, and I got to about chapter 55 now, and I've got a lot more to go, like 100 more chapters, I think, something like that. But I found so many things in Psalms that have been a comfort to me, for not just this. I'm leaving some things out that I can't share with you, just as you have some personal situations. I know you do. You don't need to tell me about it, but I know all of us have them in our lives. But Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the middle of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her in that right early. Thankful to God for the assurance he gives us through his word, the comfort he gives us. Another place that I receive comfort, just like you do, because you're here today, that's through association with God's people. I got two texts this morning, said, thinking about you, I'm praying for you. That's what you need, to know somebody's thinking about you and that cares about you and wants to help you. But God's people, heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Sometimes we get heaviness in our heart. And because of my topic, I may be leaving the impression that my life is all wilted. But it's not. It's not. There are aspects of it. And it's pervading because it's something that is important to you. But many wonderful blessings because I'm a Christian. And that creates a great amount of gratitude to those who were not afraid to mention New Testament Christianity to me, because I didn't grow up, as many people did, in a Christian home. And another thing that encourages me is the hymns that we sing from time to time. I don't want to live in a world that doesn't have music. I'm glad I don't have to live in a world that doesn't have music, but hymns. There's one that Brother Foy Forehand wears a bed. He leads nearly every time he leads singing for us. God bless you, go with God. What a thrill, what a thrill. Is well with my soul, a common love. There's so many. And they're thrilling to me. And they take me to a realm that I don't reach anywhere else on this earth. So many passages help us. There's one place, Galatians 6:9 tells us that we must not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't it interesting that God says, bring your burdens to me. But he's giving us another one to wear. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But his is bearable, and he will help us. His burden is light. It's not. It is easy, and it's light. His burden is light. But there is. There's a responsibility that goes with being a Christian. So many. This is one that has helped me through the years, not just with weariness, but just always. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This is comforting to me. To not just for me, but to anybody who tries to be faithful to God. God will give us the necessities of life. He'll provide for us. Maybe not what we're used to, but he'll provide for us. He won't let us fall away. And then this one I love, because it talks about God doesn't want us to be happy just apple pie in the sky by and by. It's not just heaven in the Christian's life, but it's here and now that we can be happy. This is one that says that Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children. Some people have had to do that. or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. What can we ask for more than that? Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Now then, there's a lot of other passages I could read to you, but I want to draw your attention, if you got a copy of that handout that I gave you, John Boer's article, "Burdens Are Not Always Bad." If I had time, I'd read it to you to make sure you hear it, because I know what you do when you get some handouts. But there's so many you can't possibly read all. But this is a wonderful article. I've used it so many, many times. I've sent it to people. I've shared it. It talks about how burdens can refine us. And it talks about a jewelry man and how he polishes his piece that he's working on. And he keeps on and he, you know, exposes it to heat and all of these things. But he says when the finished product is through, you can see your face in it. And so the application is made. These difficulties that come into our life, they polish and refine us until Jesus' image can be seen in ours. So be sure you read it. You'll appreciate it. Thank you.